Very pleased on this Super Bowl weekend to be joined by Matt Sabuda for a special edition of Beyond the Playbook. Good morning to you, Matt.
Good morning, Jay.
All right, Matt, we head into the weekend of the big game, the 50th Super Bowl. Of course, lots of pomp and circumstance. The Super Bowl wasn't, of course, always this big, was it?
Not even close. Yeah, the Super Bowl has certainly become the most popular American event of this generation. Consider that more than 115 million people are likely to tune into the game this Sunday, making it the most watched event of the year by far. In fact, it'll likely generate more than three times as many viewers as the next most watched non-football broadcast, which traditionally is the Oscars. And little sums up the scope of the game more than the money surrounding it. And with all the eyeballs on the screen comes some seriously big business. At the forefront of that, of course, are the Super Bowl commercials. Very little illustrates the meteoric rise of the event than the oft-talked about 30-second ad and its price tag. Consider that in 1967, for Super Bowl I, a commercial for the big game cost $42,000, which, you know, if adjusted for inflation, would be about $300,000 today. Well, $300,000 wouldn't even buy you 2 seconds in this year's Super Bowl, as the price tag for 30 seconds of airtime this year costs $5 million. Add all the commercials up for this year's game, and advertisers will spend nearly $400 million throughout the three-hour game. And if you'd rather go to the game instead of watching it on TV, fear not, as the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco actually has a last-minute deal available for their penthouse. It's a delightful four-night package. Mm-hmm. They'll even throw in tickets to the game, mm-hmm. and it'll only cost you $250,000 a night, or, you know, $1 million total, which I'm guessing it'll probably excludes a resort service package, Wi-Fi, all those extras. Who says the rich are richer than ever?
Those are incredible numbers for sure. Let's maybe, though, just for a moment, explore some of the history behind those numbers, if we could. When did this game become this all-consuming event that it is now?
Well, here's a piece of Buffalo history many may not be aware of. The Super Bowl really changed dramatically about 25 years ago for the Bills' first appearance, most evident in the production of the halftime show and a couple of years later in the merchandising around the event when they started selling everything associated with the game, including replicas of the ceremonial coin used in the opening toss. But the extravaganza of the halftime show is the best illustration of how the game morphed into a must-see event. Before Super Bowl XXV, despite a few known performers, the NFL was going with an assortment of entertainers and marching bands to entertain the crowds at halftime. My personal favorite was for Super Bowl VIII when they trotted out Miss Texas to play the fiddle. And all the way up to Super Bowl XXIV in 1990, the year before the Bills made their debut, two college marching bands were part of the entertainment dazzling the crowds. Then enter the Bills' run, starting with Super Bowl XXV, and things changed overnight, or at least in a year. The pageantry of the game exploded as the NFL went with big-name acts of the day like New Kids on the Block, Gloria Estefan, Michael Jackson, and Clint Black in that order. It was at this point that the era of the epic halftime show really began. Once the NFL realized they could make every aspect of the game marketable, it became a runaway train, morphing into the mega event it is today.
All right, you know, Matt, when we do these Beyond the Playbooks throughout the season, of course, we like to get into some background, but we never let you go without giving some thoughts about what's going to happen on the field.
Despite being the underdogs in the game, I think the Broncos have a better shot than people are giving them. My reason is I think it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Super Bowl a few years ago when Peyton Manning and the Broncos actually lost the Super Bowl to the Seahawks. That year, the Seahawks had a dominating defense with a solid yet unspectacular offense, and I think this year kind of sums up the Broncos. But if that Broncos defense doesn't come to play like it did against the Patriots, we'll likely see the Panthers get their first Super Bowl championship. But either way, should be fun.
All right. Well, it was great talking to you, Matt. As always, thanks for going Beyond the Playbook.
Thank you, Jay.